And now, let's join Maggie Linton on SiriusXM Urban View.
Well, welcome back. Tomorrow, we'll discuss race in America with Wall Street Journal journalist, columnist, and Manhattan Institute senior fellow Jason Riley as we discuss his book, Please Stop Helping Us. And we'll go inside the world of college basketball from a referee's point of view with sports writer Bob Katz and his book, The Whistleblower. But we continue right now with a woman who helps people focus on their financial future. Linda Levesque is a certified financial planner, insurance advisor, and director of Private Client Group. Her new book is coming soon, Single Again, Wealth Planning on One Income. Welcome, Linda.
Hi, how are you doing, Maggie?
I'm just doing great. So how did you get interested in wealth planning?
Well, a long time ago, actually, I was starting out as an accountant. I love numbers. And I thought it wasn't enough because I love people. And so I changed working from accounting to working with people in the government in HR, and I found that I was missing the numbers. And a friend of mine saw an ad for a financial advisor. They were doing a trainee program. Anyway, and I decided to at least apply and see how that would go. And I've actually found what they call the perfect marriage. I work with numbers and I work with people, and I've never looked back.
And that's so important, someone who loves what they do. You have a much better chance to get things right. You know, you really do focus a lot on people who are single, maybe having just gotten divorced or something along those lines. And that's for both males and females, or even the folks who have never even gotten married. It's so important for them to not think of, I can do this after I get somebody, but to really think of themselves right from the very beginning.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, though. I guess it all depends. People think that they have to be making more money or be married and having two incomes to be able to save. But really, it's getting into a good habit and a discipline right from when you start working.
And well, my parents made us start doing it right from the time we started getting our little allowances. And so, you know, there was that financial planning and the mindset that so many people don't really have right from the very beginning, because it's not taught at home.
No, and I had clients in their 40s when they came to me with a lot of debt. And once I got them sort of organized and out of debt, they said, you know, it, really, we kind of blame our parents because they never taught us, and they had no clue. So with their young daughters, they actually started them in a savings program right away because they were able to pass on the information once they understood how money works.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what a lot of people do not understand, how money works. And you talk about getting people back on track. What track should they be on right from the very beginning?
Well, the very, very first thing you have to do is start paying yourself first. And that's if you're, even if you have a paper route, put a little bit of money away. They say 10% is the ideal. If you start doing that when you first get your first job, you'll never have to worry about money, because when you're young, you work for the money. When you're older, the money will work for you. But paying yourself is the most important. And Maggie, just to let you know, like, I had an employee, my first employee as a financial advisor, and I said to her, because I wanted to make sure she was on the right track, and I said, do you pay yourself first? And she said, well, of course I do. And then I said, so where is your money? Who are you dealing with right now? And she says, well, I don't actually have any money. She said, you know, I go to the movies, I go shopping, you know, all with my friends and stuff. I said, well, then you're making everybody else rich except for yourself.
Yeah. It's really not paying yourself first is not going out and having a good time first. It's really putting your money away, isn't it?
Absolutely. And, you know, I do a lot of group seminars and stuff, and I did one for a company one time, and they had a plan where they actually matched 50% of what you put in to their company savings program. And they told me that a lot of their employees didn't take advantage of that. Mm. So when I did the presentation, I said to them, you know, to the group, why aren't you putting the money away? And some people said, well, we can't afford to, because then we have to, you know, lock up so much of my money. I said, but the company's giving you free money.
Mm-hmm.
Who turns away free money?
Yeah.
But people don't understand the money game.
Exactly. And you know, even if your company's paying 50%, or even 5% or 6%. You don't have to do the full 5 or 6 if you don't have it right now, because I know a lot of people are paying back student loans and something like that. But even if you do 2 or 3%, they'll still even match that.
Correct. But this is my thing. Mm-hmm. With the governments being broke all over the world, if they imposed a new tax on us, we'd have no choice.
That's right.
It's like we have to pay those taxes. And when our take-home pay is a little bit lower, we have to make do. But people don't understand if they're given a choice. Do I want to go out Friday night, or do I want to put some money away for the future? And I'm not telling people to save everything, because I believe in balance. But the thing is, you have to live for today, but plan for tomorrow.
Yeah. That's very, very true. Once again, we're talking with a certified financial planner and wealth planner, too. It is Linda Levesque, and she is a CFP, as well as a senior investment advisor, an insurance advisor, and a mortgage agent. She's got it all covered, because it has numbers. As you say, there are ways that people can also, because people are living longer, and you find so many older people getting taken by groups or institutions and things like that. And there are ways for people to save their parents or the elderly to protect their finances.
Correct. I had a case recently where one of my clients, her parents, well, they were married for a long, long time. They both did things together, but when the husband died, you know, the mother lived alone. She was getting close to 90 years old, and then she was in her family home for a number of years and decided she'd get a little bit of renovations done. She got some people to come in, some trades, and then what happened was, you know, they started being nice to her. She was a nice older lady, and they started doing a bit of work, and then because they got friendly, they had borrowed, you know, $100 off her, and they said they'd pay it back like next week, but they just needed it for gas or for whatever. So she felt, well, they were nice people. She trusted them. And this went on and on and on. By the time my client had actually found out what had happened, the people that had done it had actually taken everything that the mother had, to the point where the mother had given the debit card. And so as she was getting her old age pensions in, they were in the bank getting them out, to the point where at one month she couldn't pay her telephone bill. And because they needed access to her, they loaned her money back to pay her phone bill. Then the daughter started noticing that the mother didn't have the money, and all of a sudden she started doing an investigation, got the police involved, and the police couldn't do anything because the mother willingly gave the money.
Exactly. You got to pay attention.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, listen, folks, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more from Linda Levesque as we talk about wealth planning and some do's and don'ts along the way. But first, we have our salute to Black poets.
In honor of Black History Month, we celebrate African American poets with Adele Coleman Williams.
We Real Cool by Gwendolyn Brooks. The pool players, 7 at the Golden Shovel. We real cool. We left school. We lurk late. We strike straight. We sing sin. We thin gin. We jazz June. We die soon.
And now let's join Maggie Linton on SiriusXM Urban View.
Well, welcome back. We continue with Linda Levesque. She is a certified financial planner, insurance advisor, and director of Private Client Group. We've got a call from Sam. He's calling back again. Hi, Sam from Texas. How are you?
Hello, Maggie. Maggie, I had to just call back in again, Maggie.
Uh-huh. That's fine, Sam.
Maggie, you know you always have the best of the best on your show. Thank
God. Thank you.
Hello to your guests also. I'd like to ask your guest, Maggie, how do you get young people, children, to start saving? I've always said that, you know, the apple don't fall far from the tree. And sometimes it doesn't, but there's still hope. But how do you get young people to start saving which is just so important.
Linda? Linda? Linda?
Yes?
Did you hear that question?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I did.
I'm
and
sorry.
Actually, it's a good question, and it's something that I've just talked to some clients just the other day about with their children. And what happens, what you need to start your children doing is not giving them everything that they request. So if they want a new toy or something, if they get an allowance for doing some work around the house or the yard or picking up their toys and they get some money, they have to save it for the toy that they want. You don't just go out and buy it and make it that easy, because today it's expected that the kids are going to get whatever they want. They've got it all. The ones that appreciate their toys are the ones that they've actually had to pay for. So you get them saving for something that they want.
Okay, Sam. Oh, Sam said, I guess Sam said, good. That's, you know, that is very much a way. And even if they don't make the full amount, they have to at least save for part of it.
That's right. Mm-hmm. You can say, I'll pay half, but you have to save the other half.
Yeah.
And no, it's not going to happen in advance. You have to save for it.
Yeah, very true. We had a guy on a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about managing your money. And he was saying, well, you know, he had gone out and bought his son a new car because he had promised it to him. Well, if your son's got no car at all, a used car is still a new car for him.
Absolutely. And I actually have, you know, on some of the tips when you're getting back on track after things happen, is don't buy new, don't lease a car because then you don't own it, especially if you can't write it off for business. But go and buy a used car a year or two, you'll save thousands of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of money, and it's still relatively a new car.
Yeah, very, very true. You also talk about people because of either death or divorce, and getting themselves back on track. I got to say retracked, but it's actually getting back on track.
Getting back on track. Well, getting divorced is one of the bigger problems. When you lose a spouse, chances are you're still going to be better off than the divorced person unless your spouse had a lot of debt and you didn't know about it. Because there are a lot of people that one spouse is controlling the money, the other one doesn't know really their financial situation at all. But in a divorce, it can destroy you financially, especially if you have children involved and you're doing a lot of stuff going to lawyers, which means that every little thing you're calling up your lawyer, you could easily run into hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. One of my colleagues, it was $200,000 before he said, that's it, I can't do any more. In the end, he didn't get what he wanted, which was access to his kids on a more regular basis. But the point is, you can pick your battles what you need to do, so you have to be careful in a divorce. Now, when my husband and I ended up separating, because I told you, love numbers, I was very good at putting things away, but I put us in such a good financial position that when we ended up divorcing, we actually didn't end up losing a lot. We lost a lot in the sense that we couldn't save as much because now we have to pay individually for our own homes, but at least we weren't struggling to get out of debt. Now, not because I knew we would be splitting up. I had no idea. But because my father taught me at a very young age to pay for things. So only buy when you could afford. And so I was lucky to marry somebody that was with the same philosophy. But I know a lot of people that are not like that. So
now, did you have separate accounts or were all your accounts joint?
Well, what was interesting, the very first time we married, we were 20 and 21, so we had joint accounts. We ended up separating after 13 years of marriage, and we split all the assets. When we got back together, we were in our, I'll say, later 30s, and what happened was we ended up having joint accounts, not joint accounts. After that, we had separate accounts, and we both contributed to the household. When you marry for the second time or you're marrying later in life, you should keep your bank accounts separate.
Yeah, very true. Very true. I agree with you 100%. All right, Bob from Alabama, thank you for calling.
Hey, good morning. You know, I'm not a financial advisor, although I'm good friends with a financial advisor and like to invest to save money. You know, a young guy a couple of callers ago talked about getting children to save. You know, in our house, we made it, it's a policy and it's etched in stone and signed in blood that 50% of every dollar, dime, or whatever our daughter gets is saved.
Mm-hmm. That's so what my parents did.
Pardon me?
That's what my parents did, including our allowances, exactly. Gifts from people. It doesn't matter. Half of that was always saved.
From what, like, to use an IRS term, from whatever source derived. Mm-hmm. It does not matter. And, you know, and so now she has a brokerage account. She has a savings account. So we get to show her the difference between different investment engines, you know, savings mm-hmm. account versus stocks, bonds, or whatever. But anyway, the other thing is, you know, it's interesting. You're on the show this morning, and I haven't heard a lot of it. But I had a buddy, a law partner, who actually went to this economic empowerment seminar last night. I told him best wishes and let me know what they had to say. But and we had a very deep conversation about where we are as African Americans. And, you know, we look at the amount of wealth we have versus that of white. And then I read this article last week that indicates that it's not just the black or African Americans on the bottom 20%. We have children who struggle, and we have middle class African Americans. The majority of their children end up in the bottom 25% of the economic echelon. I just don't get that. I don't get it.
Well, that's because they've never learned how to save. So often it's been the instant gratification that leads them in
yes.
life, and it's not what does you any good further on. Linda, I'm going to let you jump in here, too.
Well, and the other thing is, unfortunately, there's a lot of single moms today. Either they haven't been married or they've been married and divorced. And so probably over 80% of those single moms are struggling now. But again, Maggie, as you said, they were never taught how to put money away and save. And so everything is like whatever they can do. So they're spending money on clothes and looking good and everything else. Then they find themselves in a situation they can't seem to get out of. So it is a problem, but if you teach your children young, and the other thing with you is that you have to make sure your daughter not only just saves her money, but she has to be protected from being, taken advantage of.
Absolutely.
Because if people know that she's got that kind of money, they're going to be wanting to go out with her, and I've heard of cases, many cases, where when the money was gone, the person was gone.
Well, here's the thing. That's why she has a daddy.
That's right, and that's why I say as a daddy, you protect her.
Who works out 6 to 8 days a week.
There you go.
Good.
So, you know, and I've already rehearsed the speech.
All right.
Good.
Take care.
Bob, you are doing the right thing, and more people need to be doing it. Thank you very
bye-bye.
Much for
yeah,
calling.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye.
Antoine from Chicago. Thank you, Antoine. Calling back again, too. We like you.
Calling back again because you're on point this morning.
Well, thank you. And don't go away. Stay for the rest of the show, the next hour, too, because we're going to be hitting financial stuff again at the end of the last hour. So.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know.
I need to ask your guest a question. This is concerning my daughter, my grandson. My daughter is a single parent. She's around 23 right now. She's in college. Single parent, and she's working part-time. I need to know what kind of instrument can I start for her that will build value as she continues to get older. I don't want to hand it over to her. I want to hand it over to her later on where it's like a big lump sum gift or something that will help her out once she gets started. Maybe say she wants to buy a home or need a down payment. I want to be able to incorporate it for not only her, but my grandson as well.
Well, you'd have to find out what savings plans that you can do. What I've suggested to some parents is that actually they start a little savings plan, but you put it in your own name. And at the time, you know, keep, and if you're charging her a little bit of rent if she's living with you, you put all that money away and it's there for her when she gets married and or ready to buy a house. You offer that as a down payment on a house. So if you have savings programs that you can actually do that are tax-free, that would be wonderful. If you don't, then I would suggest that you actually keep it in your own name because it protects not just your daughter, but it protects your money because if she does meet some person, and again, they come into her life, they use the money, it gets commingled, the money's gone, and then your daughter is out.
Now, should the daughter be a co-signer on there?
That would be fine because with that, then the any of the taxes that would be paid later on would probably be taxed to the daughter. So that would be a good way, but she can't touch the money.
Oh, no, that part she has to worry about. She's not touching that. I'm just trying to get it started for her. You were saying there were things that were tax-free that you could do?
Yeah, like an IRA or something along those lines.
Well, something that would be, I'll say, non-registered, where she would have access to buy the house at some point when you present it to her.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right?
Okay, sounds good. Thank you once again, Maggie.
Thank you, Antoine. Good talking
Bye.
With you again.
Okay.
Listen, Linda, I wish you could stay longer. We'll have to have you back once again. Thanks to certified financial planner, insurance advisor, and director of private client group, Linda Levesque. Her book out soon is Single Again, Wealth Planning on One Income. Thank you, Linda.
Maggie, nice talking to you.
Nice talking with you, too. Tomorrow, we'll discuss race in America with Wall Street Journal columnist and Manhattan Institute senior fellow Jason Riley. His book is Please Stop Helping Us. And we'll go inside the world of college basketball from the referee's point of view with sports writer Bob Katz and his book, The Whistleblower. You've been listening to The Maggie Linton Show.